The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, the Grace Evangelical Society's podcast and broadcast ministry. On this episode, we want to take you to our national conference back in May of this year to give you a little flavor of what it is like. Our website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. All right, now for today's discussion, here are Ken Yates and Bob Vanzendeck.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus, and this is Ken Yates, and I'm here at the GES conference outside of Denton at Camp Copus, and I have a special guest who's a part of the conference this year, and I'm going to let him introduce himself.
I'm Bob Vanzendeck from Dallas, Texas.
And Bob has been a longtime friend, and I don't know what else you'd call him, helper and contributor to the Grace Movement and Grace Evangelical Society. And this year, he's one of our plenary speakers, which means at the conference we have what we call plenary sessions where everyone attends, and then we have what we call breakout of sessions where people have a choice from like three options or four options to attend whatever topic they want. So, Bob, on your plenary session, I know, but you would be better at saying it than I am. What was your topic?
Well, my topic was my recent thesis of my doctoral dissertation, which was, is assurance of salvation of the essence of saving faith in the Gospel of John? And what I mean by is assurance of the essence of saving faith. By that I mean, is assurance an indispensable part, a necessary part of saving faith according to the Gospel of John?
And we know that many, many people in Christendom do not have assurance. They would say, well, no, you can't be sure that you have eternal life. And I know you focused on the Gospel of John. So give us an overview of your findings in your dissertation.
Well, initially, what I did is I decided to look at early on in the dissertation the history of assurance. And I went back all the way to 500 A.D., which was 1,000 years prior to the Reformation. And what we discovered was that according to Catholic teaching, assurance is essentially impossible to have and not even desirable. They saw it as something that would cause people, if they knew that they were going to heaven, that they would just go out and live like the devil. So they really put the kibosh on that. And so basically, that's the way it was pretty much for the next 1,000 years after 500 AD until Martin Luther and John Calvin, both former Catholics, came on the scene, and God, in his own special way, got a hold of their hearts, and they believed the truth of the gospel. They believed that not only is faith alone in Christ alone necessary, but they also understood the gospel to include assurance of salvation. So early on in the dissertation, I went about to prove that this wasn't a novel theology. This wasn't some kind of newfangled theology that only began in 1980 in reaction to the writings of Lordship Salvation teachers. This is a theology that goes back, for sure, to the Reformation, to 500 years ago. And even yesterday, Pope Gregory, I had a quote of his, and then we're talking about around the time of 650 AD, right in that time slot, 650 AD to 700 AD. And even Pope Gregory was denying that assurance was of the essence of saving faith. He was denying that it was an indispensable part, indicating that even back then there must have been people
right
teaching this.
Or he wouldn't have to refute it.
That's exactly right. And so it's very interesting. After the chapter on history, we gave a definition of what assurance is. We, in the key chapter, well, again, before I get to the key chapter, there's one more in there, and that would be, it would have to do with how assurance is seen over the last 50 years? What's the contemporary view? How do contemporary people define assurance? And then in Chapter 5, which was the crux of the dissertation, I wrote on assurance in the Gospel of John. What does that look like?
You know, it's interesting what you said about the Catholic Church or what was going on during those, centuries, where the official doctrine of the church was that you can't have assurance. And one of the reasons they did that, one of the main reasons they did that was, well, if we tell people they know they have eternal life, well, they're going to go out and just live like the devil. And I'm glad you brought that up in the session because that's my experience. For GES, I teach overseas, and a lot of times I'll do pastors' conferences, and that's what they say. It's interesting. I know you see this too. You teach assurance. You show it in the Gospel of John that we know we have eternal life once we believe in Jesus for it because that's what he promises us. And people will say, yeah, I see that, but we can't teach that because people will just go out and live. But the other thing, and I'm kind of curious to know if you would agree with this, I think another reason they do so is to have control over the people. Like with the Catholic Church, if you do not know you have eternal life and your only hope is that through the church you can hopefully obtain it, then what a grip of power they have over the people sitting in the pew.
Absolutely. And in so many ways, they use this as a means of raising funds, of keeping money flowing. And they'll have an unbiblical teaching about finances, and then they will say to their people, if you don't give X amount of money, then you're probably not saved.
Right.
And they'll use that concerning just about everything. If you're like this, if you don't come to church every time the doors are open, that may prove that you're not really serious. And then and if you're not serious, then obviously you're never going to make it into God's kingdom. And so it's a very, very pernicious grip on the lives and hearts of people, that kind of teaching, that theology.
And it's so sad that so many people in so many churches today live under that fear, live under the it's even more than fear. What would you call it? Even dread that I don't know if I have eternal life. I don't know if I'm good enough. And so I think your dissertation is very, very much needed. And I would also say I also appreciate the fact that you, in the Free Grace Movement, what you just mentioned, this idea of assurance is not something that was just brought up through Grace Evangelical Society. It
Correct.
Has been something throughout history. Now, you also had a breakout session on this, right?
Yes.
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 Where you talked about assurance in the church since 500 AD.
Yes.
Right.
And so we went through all of the different eras, pre-Reformation, post-Reformation. We looked at people that taught that assurance was not of the essence of saving faith, you know, within a generation nearly of Luther and Calvin. Already their protégés were going away from what Luther and Calvin actually taught about assurance. And then when the Westminster Confession came on the scene in 1647, which was roughly 100 years after Calvin's death, it absolutely was an opening of Pandora's box concerning a scourge of uncertainty in the church world.
And it's been plaguing us ever since.
Ever since.
Now, you and I talked a little bit yesterday, but I'd like for you to share it with. I was kind of curious. I had did a dissertation topic years ago, and my experience was that a lot of times at institutions, they don't want free grace issues as the topic of a dissertation. So how did you get that through? How did that work out to where you were able to write on this topic? Because you got to have graders, you got to have a committee, and they go, I'm not really interested in this. So how did that work out with you?
Well, I kind of see it as a God thing. I was talking to Dr. John Niemela recently, who was my third reader, and he, which means on my dissertation, he was one of my committee members. If you don't know what a reader is by any stretch, that's kind of a strange word. But anyway, I was talking with him, and I just was saying this very thing that how, you know, the way that the door opened for me to do this topic, I told John, there's not very many seminaries at all in America that would have allowed this to go through. They would have seen it as basically heresy.
Right. And a waste of your time, a waste of scholarly work. Right.
Sure.
Right.
And yet, my readers, after they had interacted with me and got a bead on what I was actually arguing, they were a little bit hesitant up front. But once we interacted, they said, go forward. And so I really think God was working because, and again, I'm not tooting my own horn or anything like this, but this teaching, this doctrine needs to be out around the world, and now it is. Now it's posted on Scholars Crossing, and already I'm getting email response concerning this positive.
Yeah, and this is so outstanding because, as Bob is talking about here, these readers may at first have been skeptical, at least some of them. I know John Niemela wasn't. And the reason why is the vast majority of denominations teach today, because of the history from the Westminster Confessions in 1647, that we can't have assurance. Mm-hmm. And so here comes your dissertation along and say, no, this is a perversion of the teachings of the Scriptures, especially the Gospel of John.
Yes, and throughout the entire dissertation, I really tried to over and over and over give reasons as to why a Calvinist or an Arminian ought to consider this seriously and to think. There is a tendency in Christian circles to study what men have written about assurance, to go back in time and read all of these books that have been written over the last 500 years and say, well, look at what these men have written. Surely this has to be the truth. And they've never really taken a serious and close look at the Gospel of John and ask themselves, is this what Jesus taught?
Amen, Bob. And I got to tell you, we are so excited here at Grace Evangelical Society. And for all of our listeners, I would highly recommend you get a hold of some of this stuff that Bob is working on. You can contact him through us or online or whatever the case may be. Assurance is such a great thing. And thank you for being a part of this conference and for spreading the truth that once we believe in Jesus for eternal life, we know we have it. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners to get a hold of that material and read it. And keep grace in focus.
On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, does Luke 13:3 say repentance is needed for eternal salvation? That's next episode right here. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.